Good morning. It's a family service today, so I would like to invite all the kids who are willing to come up here and sit on the floor, and we'll tell a story. I never thought I would find myself preaching with a Bible in my hand, but here I am. You know, guys, I have a confession to make. Sometimes when we have a hard story to tell, and I know that I'm going to be talking with you guys, my temptation is always to soften it a little bit, to maybe not make it quite as adult as it might be. So I'm going to resist that temptation today because I think you all are just like that bud that Hillary and Marty were talking about. You're not fragile. You're strong, right? And I'm going to give you the respect that I feel like you deserve today by telling you kind of a hard story. It's the story of Job. Anybody ever heard of Job before? Yeah, you have? No? Okay. Well, most of the adults out there have heard about Job, and they've heard this term, the patience of Job. Like, Job was a very patient man. Wrong. Job was not a patient man. And I'll get to that in a little bit here. I read the book of Job from this Bible here. It's written by a Hebrew scholar, who translated it. And the first thing that he points out is that this book is very different than most of the books in what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. It's actually probably not written by a Jew or an Israelite. The Israelites are never mentioned in this story. All the names of all the characters are probably from the Arabic or from a different language. So it's a very interesting little story, and it doesn't quite fit with the rest of the Scriptures, but I'm so glad that it's in here because it's a good story. This is how it starts. A man there was in the land of Uz, Job his name, and the man was blameless and upright and feared God and shunned evil. A man there was in the land of Uz. You know what I thought about when I read that? Anybody ever see The Wizard of Oz? Yeah. I wonder if this is where Frank Baum, who wrote that, I wonder if this is where he came up with the name Oz. Uz. Have y'all seen The Wizard of Oz, right? No? Where have you been all your life? No judgment. You should see it sometime, maybe, if your parents agree. So, The Wizard of Oz is a really cool story, but it's also kind of a scary story, isn't it? There are parts of The Wizard of Oz that, when I was your age, scared me half to death. But the dark stuff in The Wizard of Oz is part of the story, just like the dark stuff in Job is part of his story too, right? So here's what happened to Job. He was an upright, God-fearing man. He had 10 kids. He had cattle. He had camels. He had sheep. He had asses. Big donkeys, I think, probably. But and so Job had everything. He had it all. Then one day, all of a sudden, he had nothing. His livestock was all stolen by marauding bands of bandits, and his children all died the same day in a horrible accident. They were having lunch at one of the son's houses, and the roof caved in, and all of Job's children died immediately. So Job, who one minute had everything, the next minute he had nothing. And Job did not blame God for his horrible misfortune. He would not curse God for the horrible things that happened to him. Then the next thing that happens to him is he gets this painful disease. He has a rash from head to feet. And he's just in agony. And Job still doesn't blame God for this. Job accepts it. In fact, Job says, I came into this world with nothing, and I'm going to leave this world with nothing. Blessed be God. Job sat down. First, Job shaved his head, and he sat down in a pile of ashes. And he was itching so bad from this disease that he took a broken piece of pottery, and he was itching himself with it. You know, have you ever had an itch like that where you just couldn't scratch it? Yeah. Well, anyway, that's Job sitting in a pile of ashes. And then three of his friends came to be with him, to mourn with him. And they sat with Job in those ashes for 7 days and 7 nights and never said a word. They were just there with Job in his sadness. At the end of 7 days, yeah?
Did they die because they can only have 3 days without food?
Say again?
Did they die because they need food and water?
Oh, great question. They must have had some food and water. At least water, right? You can't live for 7 days without water. You can probably live for 7 days without food. The story doesn't tell us, but that's a great question. But they sat with Job for 7 days and seven nights in silence, just being there with him in his sadness. And at the end of 7 days, they started talking. They started talking to Job. Probably they did it out of love, right? Probably they felt like, okay, we've been mourning for 7 days. Now we need to start talking and telling Job, trying to help Job. But what they said was not helpful at all. What they told Job was, this is the way God works. Good people are rewarded, and bad people are punished. So, Job, you must have done something wrong. Right? Right? Not helpful. Not helpful at all. I mean, have you ever had a friend who came to you and thinking that they were trying to say something to you that was helpful, and it turned out not to be helpful at all?
100%.
What's that?
100%.
100%. Yeah, well, I mean, me too. It seems to sort of be part of life, right?
I mean, it goes both ways.
It goes both ways. Sometimes it is helpful, and sometimes it's not, right? Well, Job's friends were not helpful at all. In this book, 19 chapters are a dialogue between Job's friends and Job. And his friends keep telling him, you must have done something wrong. And Job keeps saying, nope, I did not. And so they couldn't change Job's mind because they were wrong. And Job was right. Job had done nothing wrong. And yet he suffered this horrible suffering. Okay, so so they couldn't change Job's mind, and Job was really looking for an explanation. Why do these horrible things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Because sometimes they do, right? Sometimes we suffer things that we don't deserve. It's just the way it is, and it's not God punishing us for something we've done wrong. Then, so Job can't get his mind changed, but Job's heart changes. And you know how? No, you don't, because you haven't heard this story before. A huge storm blows in. A huge storm. Like, imagine the most fierce windstorm you've ever been in, or a blizzard where you can't see even out your window. That's the kind of storm that blew in. And Job heard God's voice in the storm. What do you suppose God said to Job? Hi. He did. He said, hey, Job, it's me, God. So Job is looking for answers throughout this whole story. Job is looking for why. God does not tell Job why. Why doesn't God tell Job why? Great question. Maybe because there is no answer to the question why. It's a possibility. Sometimes things just happen. And asking why is just like torturing ourselves. But it's a very human thing to do. We all do it, right? What God does is God, and this is some of the most beautiful ancient poetry that I have ever heard or read in my life. God tells Job about his creation. God retells that story that we hear in Genesis about how the earth was created, how mankind, humankind came to be. God has some of the most beautiful poetry, I think, that I have ever read. The author of Job puts these words into God's mouth, or perhaps God actually said them. We don't know for sure. So I'm going to read you a little bit of poetry and see what you think. God has already talked about his creative power. And he asked Job, have you come into the springs of the sea? In the bottommost deep, walked about? Have the gates of death been laid bare to you, and the gates of death's shadow have you seen? Did you take in the breadth, the width of the earth? Tell me, if you know it all, where is the way that light dwells and darkness? Where is its place that you may take it to its home and understand the paths to his house? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Not. Have you come to the storehouse of snow? The storehouse of hail have you seen, which I keep for a time of strife, for a day of battle and war? By what way does the west wind fan out, and the east wind whip over the earth? Who split the channel for the torrent? And a way for the thunderstorm to rain on a land without man, wilderness bare of humankind, to sate the desolate dunes and make the grass sprout there, or maybe a bud sprout there. Does the rain have a father? Or who begot the drops of dew? From whose belly did the ice come? to the frost of the heavens. Who gave birth? Can you tie the bands of the Pleiades or loose Orion's reins? Those are constellations in the sky. Can you bring constellations out in their season? Lead the great bear and her cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you fix their rule on earth? Can you lift your voice to the cloud that waters fate cover you? Can you send lightning bolts on their way and they will say to you, here we are. Who placed in the hidden parts wisdom, or who gave the mind understanding? Who counted the skies in wisdom and the jars of the heavens? Who tilted when the dust melts to a mass and the clods cling fast together? Can you hunt prey for the lion? Fill the king of the beast's appetite when it crouches in its den and lies in ambush? Who readies the raven's prey when its young cry out to God and stray deprived of food? That's some beautiful poetry. And that's God talking directly to Job out of the storm. God is showing Job the cosmos, the universe, the earth, the very animals that live with us on this earth. God does not tell Job why. God shows Job this amazing, miraculous, cosmic world that we live in. And somehow, and I don't know how, but somehow Job's heart is changed. He doesn't get any of the answers that he was looking for, because perhaps there are no answers. But his heart is changed and opened, and Job is healed. Job is healed. Yeah. Now, there is a fairy tale ending to this myth, this beautiful myth. And at the end of this, Job is restored. He gets his crops, he gets his livestock back. He gets new children, and everything is good in Job's life. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that Job's heart was opened by an encounter with God in a blizzard.
What about the part where he wasn't patient?
He was not patient because... Well, I guess he sort of had to be patient because he was just in the middle of his suffering and there wasn't a darn thing he could do about it. But the reason that I mean he wasn't patient was he was constantly arguing with God about the why. And then he was able to let go of the why, and he was born into a new creation. Thanks for being so patient with me, guys. I know that was kind of a long story, but a good one, right? Yeah? All right. Fly away, little birds.